Simply the Gospel is a Bible study resource ministry of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana. Hello, this is Jim Pursley, thanking you for taking the time to listen to our audio devotional sermon series from the Gospel of Matthew. This audio devotional sermon is supplemental to our downloadable Matthew study that you can find on our website at www.sovereignchristbiblefellowship.com. I would encourage you to visit our website, look around, and find this and other useful resources available to you. You're listening to Lesson 3, entitled, The Human and Divine Lineage of Jesus. If you haven't already done so, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew and look at verse 1 of chapter 1. This is how Matthew begins the Gospel, the record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. If we read no further, we would know pretty clear that this is the human lineage of Jesus Christ, his genealogy, where he came from. I don't know about you, but I do find genealogical studies to be pretty interesting. I like to find out who my great-great-great-great-grandparents were. And as I did a little study on our family tree, I found out that, yes, we had noblemen, people that were well-respected in the community. But we also had those characters in our family tree that were less than stellar citizens of community. Had one family member that was a traitor. Had another family member that committed murder over a woman. And he was drunk at the time. So we have those kind of aspects of our genealogy we're not proud of, but honestly, we would try to sweep it under the rug. I have one in my genealogy named Dakota Jack. Dakota Jack Pursley. He was a frontiersman. Supposedly, he had pushed his way toward Arizona, New Mexico, and that area of the country. And he became well known for his trips and camps that he would lead as he became older and the West was being conquered. He became an entrepreneur. Well, Matthew begins his gospel by pointing us to the royal lineage of Jesus Christ. He says, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Probably two people in the Old Testament that most people would be familiar with is Abraham and David. Now, this tells us something, that Jesus came through a kingly line. He was the Messiah King of Israel. And if you remember, Matthew sets Jesus forward as the Messiah King, the King of Kings. So this is key to understanding who Jesus is as far as his kingly line goes. Promises were made to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, he was told by God, you will be a blessing to many nations. He will bless the nations through Abraham. And God made a promise through David that a king would sit on his throne forever. Well, who is this one? This one is Jesus in David's line. Who is this one who would be a blessing to the nations through Abraham? It would be Jesus. Harry Ironside has a great point in one of his commentaries. He writes, as son of Abraham, our Lord is the promised seed in whom all nations of the world shall be blessed. As son of David, he is the king who is to reign in righteousness upon David's throne forever. It was sin that caused the throne of David to be severed, so to speak. If you follow David's genealogy, Solomon was the next king. Then he had a son, and there was a squabble between Jeroboam and Rehoboam, and a split kingdom, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. It was a tragic time in the history of Israel. But nevertheless, God was faithful to his promise from 2 Samuel chapter 7, when he said that there would be one who would sit on David's throne forever, and he would rule in righteousness. When we think of righteousness, so often we think of, you get it right most of the time. You do things pretty good. But when God speaks of this one reigning in righteousness, he's speaking of one who is perfect, holy, without flaw, without deviation to what is right, perfect and righteous in his judgments. This one would reign on David's throne. But Jesus did have a human lineage. If we trace his human lineage, we'll find, as I mentioned in my own family tree, that there are sinners listed. Not one person is sinless in Jesus' family tree. There's a host of murderers and adulterers and sexually immoral people. There are Gentiles. They're prostitutes and liars, schemers. If you look at the people in his family tree, maybe you would come to Mary, his mother, and say that she was as close to pure as you could get. Yet she was not sinless. Mary needed a Savior. And so it could be disappointing to you, and you could idealize the King, Jesus, in his human lineage, and wonder why was he not perfect? Why were there so many sinners? Friends, here's a key point. We'll get to it when we talk about his divine lineage, but it may be disappointing, but I think that we should be encouraged by this. God is a merciful and gracious God. He didn't drop his redemptive plan because people sinned. It was because of sinners that Jesus came. He came to die for sinners. It was for people like me, people like you, who Jesus came to die for. Would you come to Jesus right now with thankfulness in your heart because you've been reminded that Jesus came to save sinners? Sinners including you. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. That's good news. Well, Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17 reveals his earthly lineage, to be sure. Then Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 reveal his divine lineage. It's absolutely essential that we believe that Jesus is both man and God, both human and divine. We believe that this humanity and divinity is combined in one person, united in one person. He's not 50% man and 50% God. But we believe the scripture would teach us that he is 100% man and 100% God in one and the same person. This is called the hypostatic union. Without this unity of 100% man, 100% God, there can be no true Messiah. And that's a hard truth to grasp, but the fact that Jesus is fully man and fully God helps us to begin to understand how he can be both Savior and Lord. As we study Matthew and we get deeper into this, I believe we'll begin seeing this doctrine taking shape. As Matthew gives plenty of indication of both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus in one person. But suffice it to say that this union of human and divine nature in one person shapes our fundamental understanding of Jesus' righteous, redemptive acts on our behalf as Savior, as well as his righteous reign and rule as Lord. Matthew reveals the deity of Christ by clearly stating unequivocally that the Holy Spirit of God is responsible for his conception. This is important enough. Let's read the verse, Matthew 1:20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." From the Holy Spirit, the God-man, humanity through Mary, divinity through the Holy Spirit, human nature through Mary, nature of God through the Holy Spirit. Matthew clearly states that his name, Jesus, which tells us he's human, he was given a human name, his name, Jesus, defines his very reason for coming. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, becoming a man in the flesh, for this reason, that he might save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. The Greek English, Jesus is English, and the Greek version is Jesus. The Hebrew version is Yeshua. or Joshua. Now, thirdly, Jesus' deity is clearly portrayed by his recalling of Isaiah 7:14. Matthew recalls Isaiah 7:14, which says, "The virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." This name means God with us. So first, conceived of the Holy Spirit, the deity of Christ is set forth through this. Second, he was given the name Jesus, which means he would save his people from their sins. And then thirdly, we're told from Isaiah 7:14, which Matthew calls to light, that his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so this tells us volumes of the character and nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. God with us. Is Jesus with you today? What difference is knowing that God is with you through a living relationship that Jesus has made for you? Has God made any difference in your life? Well, let me ask you something. What evidence is there of his presence in your life? Well, let's take some time looking in Matthew chapter 2, where we see God preserves his son. This is important when we think how Jesus was vulnerable, just as any other baby being born. But how much more when it would appear that the designs of the kingdom of darkness was set upon killing the Lord Jesus Christ. And chapter 2 tells us about this. After he was born in Bethlehem, the Magi from the east came. They asked, "Where is this one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." The Magi came bearing gifts to the infant Jesus. And in this chapter 2, Herod plotted the murder of this Jesus. The Magi's gift of gold and frankincense and myrrh were fitting for Jesus. Gold for a king, frankincense to honor his purity and sinlessness, and myrrh to prepare him for burial, even as an infant. There was plans being made, plans expected for his, which expected his death. But each gift was prophetic and emphasized different aspects of his person and work. What's interesting in verse 8 of chapter 2, was that Herod pretended to admire Messiah who was being born, the story of this child who was born. And he quickly revealed those evil heart and evil mind in verse 13. When they had left, that is the Magi, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now the Magi had come, offered their gifts, and left. And the angel told Joseph, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." The nature of Herod's wickedness was so dark that truly his actions were diabolical in nature. There was an event back in Exodus very much like this. There had been a told to Pharaoh that there would be a deliverer who would set the Israelites free. And Pharaoh sent out the edict that all baby boys under the age of 2 must be killed. Well, this same event happened like this in Matthew. The diabolical nature is clear. To cut off Messiah before he could perform the work of salvation on the cross would destroy any hope of the kingdom of light. But this king of ours, King Jesus, could not fail. But all the baby boys 2 years and under were murdered. A mass murder. Such sorrow throughout the area of Bethlehem. Broken hearts. What's important for us to understand that Jesus was acquainted with sorrow and suffering even from birth. He can empathize and sympathize with anyone who's suffering on any level. What pain are you enduring right now? What's breaking your heart? What concerns do you have? Jesus knows your sorrows. He knows your afflictions. Come to him by faith, casting all your troubles upon him. Well, Joseph was warned in a dream. He went to Egypt, and he remained in Egypt until Herod died. And this fulfilled the scripture found in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, that said that they would go to Egypt, and he would come out of Egypt. And upon leaving Egypt, they settled in the district of Galilee in a little village called Nazareth, thus fulfilling another prophecy, which we find in chapter 2, verse 23. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophet, he will be a Nazarene. So from birth, Jesus' life was marked with danger, suffering, stress, and anguish. He was made like us in every way. He suffered the same pressures common to all mankind, yet without sin. Jesus is the Savior of sinners. He's the strength to the weak. He gives courage to the fearful. He's familiar with your suffering and pain. He even comes today to people who are helpless and harried and harassed, to people who are without a shepherd. And he will become the shepherd and overseers of the souls of everyone who comes to him through faith. Do you know him today as your Savior and shepherd? Will you, by faith, now bring your deepest pain to him who not only knows, but has experienced the deep pain and anguish you have and still may be experiencing? I would encourage you to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, and do what it says. I'll leave you to look that up. If your heart is full of anxiety, I challenge you to read this verse and take it as your verse. And you'll find that you will receive his love and care no matter what your pain and anguish. Thank you for listening to Simply the Gospel. Until next time, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you.